Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast. Welcome to the broadcast. Jump on in. I already see you guys loading in the chat quickly. That's good. That's a good sign. Glad that I'm not by myself talking to myself. That would not be fun. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody. Let's go. Let's get the stream going. We're live. 6:05. It's always the same. Okay, my internet's cutting out. That's so good. I love starting where the internet just cuts out right as we start. That's so cool. Let me try to fix it. Excuse me as I itch my nose as well. All right, guys. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Oh, my nose itches. Book of James. We are on episode 212 of our Monday night teaching. Very excited that you guys are here. We are going to work the internet out. It's going to be good. Don't worry. Encoding lag. All right. That's not good. Oh, you know what? We're just going to leave it. It'll be okay. Thank you, guys. I do have my gold award button that I'll show you guys later, and I appreciate all of you guys. If you saw my YouTube short, we did get it, which is great. So, yeah, exciting times, a lot of hard work, a lot of hours spent making videos and studying and praying and doing all that, getting ready to do these live streams, which we're on now, 212 of our teaching. That's a lot of teachings. We're working through the entire Bible, every verse, which is cool. We finished our 90-day Bible challenge. June 13th through the 14th, I'll be at Christ Fellowship Church in Dawsonville, Georgia. So you don't want to miss that deliverance conference. This is on my website now, by the way. So all the links to register, all that's on my website. And then I'll be at CWC Life Manteca June 29th at 10 a.m. That's in Manteca, California. And welcome, everyone. If it's your first stream, thank you for being here. Please like, please share. That helps out a lot. Okay, we're going to jump right in. We're going to go right into it. I wasn't live yesterday. I have been under the weather. I wish I was over it, but I've been under it. So you can hear my voice is a little bit weird. And yeah, I felt terrible yesterday, to be honest with you. But we'll be live again Thursday at noon. And then next week, I will be gone for the entire week camping with my family. So I will be gone next week. Excuse me. Little coughs here and there. But yes. Okay. So we have done We've done the book of John, every single verse. We've done the book of Revelation, book of Acts, book of Romans, book of Colossians, book of Ephesians, book of Philippians, and book of Hebrews. Now tonight, we will finish the book of James. So tonight, we're finishing off the book of James, which is one of my favorite books in the Bible. I know you guys are like, you say that about every book, but it is. It is. What can I say? So if you have your Bible, we're doing chapters 4 and 5. We're going to break down every single verse like we've been doing through the New Testament. And at some point, we will have finished the entire New Testament. That's going to be a crazy accomplishment to have taught every single verse out of the New Testament on live stream. That's been a few years. We've been doing it for like 4 years, and we go off and on with it. But yeah, it's going to take a little while longer. It's all good though. Okay, let's go. Let's do it. Here we go. We are in James chapter 4. If you have your Bible, we are using the New King James Version. So once again, if you have your Bible, open it up to the New King James Version as we go. This is Bible study time. Thank you guys for praying for me. It's just like a head cold, sinus infection, allergies, all that mixed together. So yeah, it's all good. It's going to work out. But that's why my voice is weird, and you're going to see me sneezing and coughing and all that good stuff, all that fun stuff. Okay, here we go. Chapter 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? So remember, James is writing to believers that were scattered throughout the Roman Empire, who a lot of them were experiencing divisions, they were experiencing conflict, they were trying to figure out how to do church together. And there was a lot of pride, there was a lot of striving, there was a lot of different doctrines. So James is correcting that. And in Roman culture, status and honor were highly valued. So there was a lot of envy, jealousy, rivalries, and this bled into the church. Even that worldly mentality, which we're going to talk about being friends of the world, it was bleeding into the church, and there was a lot of pride and rivalry. And really, in the Roman Empire, it was a desire for pleasure. That's what it was all about. It was all about self-gratifying lust. So this is what he's saying. You realize that when you guys are warring and fighting and there's division in the church like there is right now in the body of Christ, hello, somebody. You can be on Christian YouTube for 10 minutes and see all the division in the body of Christ, the war and the fights among you. James is pointing out where these fights come from, where these factions and wars and anger and all of this come from. They come from our own desires. They come from our own desires. Look at what Galatians 5:17 says. For the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. There's a war going on between our spirit and between our flesh, between God, what God wants us to do and what we want to do. So conflict among believers, it stems from sinful desires. It's not just, oh, we have an external disagreement on theology. There is a lot of vitriol in the Christian YouTube space with people fighting each other, people mad at each other. If you go to, let's say, and we talk about them, Heresy Hunter channels, right? These are YouTube channels where they're always calling out every other Christian. They think that God has made them the police for the body of Christ. And so they're constantly calling out this person's false, this person's false. Everybody's false but them. If you go to the comment sections, it's toxic. It's sinful, guys, the way that we talk about other believers and fight. The Bible says the world's going to know us by our love for one another. How will the world know that we're Christ's disciples? By our love for one another. But instead, no, there's wars, there's fighting, there's division. Everybody's battling because of sin. That's what it is. And that's why you get anger and jealousy and rage and bitterness. And you see the comment sections and they're toxic and they're sinful. That's what happens. That's what happens when you make a channel or you make your entire ministry about calling other people's ministries false, other people's ministries out. So to me, it's like, I understand one video, you know, here and there, but to make all of your videos that, or most of them, or that's where you grew your channel, is wrong, okay? Conflict among believers is rooted in sinful desires, not external agreement, sinful desires. So we need to surrender ourselves. We cannot blame other people for our conflict with them. Don't blame others that you're in conflict with them. Just repent and surrender yourself to Christ. Stop the war within. Verse 2. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Now, when he says you murder, most people believe that he's talking about hate and rage, which Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 5. And then in 1 John 3:15, it says, whoever, and I know the internet's cutting in and out. I hope it's smooth for you. Let me know if it is smooth for you, because on my end, it's cutting out. I don't know, guys. I got to call my internet provider. The last like 6 months, I've just struggled. It's just been in and out every time I go live. It works perfect till I go live. So I don't know what's going on. But if you look at 1 John 3:15, it says, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So when you hate your brother, the Bible says you are a murderer. That sounds strong. So when you look at like James 4:2, where it says you murder and covet and cannot obtain, most people believe he's referring to that. It's hate, it's rage, it's anger. And he's talking to people that want material things so badly that they become violent, sometimes in action, oftentimes in thought, and they rage and they're mad and they're angry and they covet and they lust. And so he's going on and on. Now he says, yet you do not have because you do not ask. He's suggesting that they are a prayerless people. These are professing believers, but James is going, you're prayerless. You don't have what you believe God should be giving you because you don't ask for it. And Jesus said this as well. He said, you have not because you ask not. If you ask for anything in my name, my Father will give it to you. So there's a connection between, I actually have to ask God for things. Now we know, it's okay on your end, smooth. Okay, cool. Smooth here? All right, good. Maybe just showing me choppy on my end and smooth for you guys. A lot of us are, we're good. I'm not going to let this distract me. I'm just going to keep going for it. If it disconnects, refresh, stay. It is what it is. A lot of us, I've said this in the past, are mad that God has not answered prayers we don't pray. Now, the Lord knows what we're going to pray before we pray it, but the Lord still expects us to pray. If you're lacking something in your life, think about when's the last time you even prayed about it. If you're lacking wisdom, the Bible says you can ask God for wisdom. He has so much of it, he'll give it to you generously. He won't say no if you ask for wisdom. So don't get mad that you don't have something if you're not willing to ask for something. You have to understand that there's a need to ask God for what you need or what you are believing for, okay? And there's a key to that, because let's look at verse 3. There's a connection. Like, well, I can just ask God for anything. Okay, look at what he says here in verse 3. You ask and you do not receive. Okay, so hold on. Before we go on, verse 3, this is very important. I've prayed so many prayers like, why did this prayer not get answered? Have you ever prayed those prayers? I don't understand why God's not answering this prayer. I'm confused. But he's going to show me right here why there's prayers I'm praying that are not being answered. So that's very important that we look at that. Okay, look what he says. Did I just lose my place? No, there it goes. You ask and you do not receive. He's going to tell us why. He says, don't leave me hanging, James. Because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. So he's saying this, your prayers are self-centered. That's what he's saying. You're like, I don't know why God's not answering, because you're asking for things that are not even in the will of God. You're asking for pleasure-seeking things, things that you can pleasure yourself with, get for your own pleasure. I want to have this, really nice that, really nice that. Lord, why aren't you giving me my $35,000 yacht vacation? I don't understand it. I've been praying. I've been laboring. I've been believing. And the Lord's like, you're not asking for the salvation of your family. You're not asking for the salvation of your friends. You're not asking for breakthrough in your finances and your marriage. You're asking for things just to spend on your own pleasures. So don't have just self-centered prayers. If you look at the Roman world, wealth was a sign of favor. And James is going, look, there's false motives. You're using prayer as a tool to gain pleasures, to indulge yourself, and you're just buying right into that Roman culture of pleasure. So you can't just ask the Lord for whatever you want, expect him to answer, and then getting mad when he doesn't answer if it's not in his will. Well, Isaiah, how do I know the will of God? Well, start with the Bible. I know it's the will of God that people get healed. I know it's the will of God that people get saved. It's his will that none shall perish. I know it's the will of God that people get delivered. I know it's the will of God that people have breakthrough in their life. And so I'm going to pray things. I know that's the will of God for me to be more like Christ. Lord, help me. I don't want to be angry anymore. I don't want to be bitter anymore. What are you dealing with? That's those type of prayers. So I want to make sure that my prayers are kingdom focused, not self-centered or for personal gain. You have to have that effective prayer. The more you get to know God, the more you come in alignment with his will, the more you're going to know what to pray. You will not be confused on what you should pray when you get connected to God and get to know him. Verse 4, look at this. Let me make sure we're tracking here. My throat, man, it is just, scratchy. Verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know? Now, this is like, we just started. Yeah, we started 15 minutes ago. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Don't brush over this. The stream probably is glitching because my internet is going in and out. Just so lame. I don't know what to do about this. Guys, I've restarted my stuff. I've tried every fix I can think of. Let me try one more thing. Let me just change the picture quality here and slow down the bitrate. Let's see if this helps. All right. I don't know, guys. I've tried so many different things. Maybe I just need to call my internet provider and get everything reset. Glitching. All right. Cutting out. Unfortunate. Okay, I tried changing a few settings, so I'm hoping that works. I have way more internet than I need upload speed, but for some reason, for the last 6 months, I don't know if it's like I've updated all my software. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. It's frustrating. Keeps freezing. All right, let's give it a second. Pray for my internet, guys. Lord, I know it's your will that you want me to share your word. Help me, Lord. Jesus, help us, please, in Jesus' name. Help our internet. And guys, don't leave. If the internet cuts out, stay with us. I know it's a poor viewer experience. It's hard to keep people on, but try to stay on. So discouraging when I see it freezing and then everyone disappears. I'm a friend of God, please sing. I wish that would work. All right, well, it is what it is, guys. Should I just keep going? Usually, like, you have a cold. I have had a head cold for about a week. So, yeah, my voice is a little bit weird. Good to me? Okay. All right, let's keep going. It looks green again, so we're going to keep going. I don't even remember. Because you're worshiping idols. So, God equated idolatry when you're an enemy of God. That's obviously not what he's saying. Jesus had friends that were unbelievers. You're an enemy of God. That's obviously not what he's saying. Jesus had friends that were unbelievers. Perversion, lying, anger. Lawlessness, perversion, lying, anger, lawlessness, rage. See that? So when you are friends with that, culture and you want to be like that, please reconnect. All right, refresh, guys. Refresh. We disconnected. Hopefully we reconnected. Type one when you can hit again. We disconnected. Hopefully we reconnected. Type one when you can hit again. All right, well, I don't know what to do. All right, well, I don't know what to do. To do. I've tried to fix it a million different ways. All right, the devil is a liar. All right, the devil is a liar. I don't know. Let me see. What else can I do? What else can I do while I'm live? Throwing again. I don't know. Let me see. What else can I do? What else can I do while I'm live? Throwing again. Eid. I don't know. Eid. I don't know. This only happens on Monday nights like this. On Monday nights like this. All right, will you guys wait with me? I'll wait if you guys will wait with me. I'm chilling, but we've disconnected 10 times now, according to my thing here. It's not going to help to restart the stream. Yeah, it's not going to do anything. It's going to be the same things. I'm on the same program and everything. Yeah, it wouldn't really do anything if I restart. It's just going to start another, cut this up into another video. Unfortunate. Okay, so let's see. Oh, I was about to say we've been smooth for a moment, and then as I said that, it said disconnected. You'll wait. Okay. Let's just give it a minute here. Let's give it another couple minutes and see. Oh, it's Tuesday? Well, yeah. Okay, never mind then. I forgot. This is our Monday night teaching on Tuesday because I didn't have a stream yesterday. Yeah. You're right. Okay, so far, we're back, and we haven't disconnected in about a minute. So let's see. We might be good. It's improving. Okay. Good. It's improving. Okay. All right. It looks like we're out of the woods a little bit. Oh, don't do it. Why would I say that? It disconnects. Man, I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to think of what I can do. All right, well, unfortunate. We're smooth now. Okay, so let's just keep going. I don't know. If it does that whole thing again where it's like 5 minutes of just reconnecting, I'm probably going to end the stream and have to redo this another time. Guys, here's the thing. I spend a lot of hours preparing for these. A lot of hours preparing. Much longer than an hour it takes me to teach. It's like 4 to 8 hours to prepare for these. So it's like so disappointing when I go to do the teaching and it doesn't work. I'd rather do it when it's going to work and be smooth than do it while it's cutting out the whole time. You know what I mean? Like, I want this to be watchable. I could trim this out later, which is no problem for people watching on the replay. But, let's see. Did it just disconnect again? Okay, no. We're good. All right. Let me think of what we're going to do. We're going to do this. We're going to keep going. And if it goes into starting to disconnect again, then we're going to have to do it a different day. Thursday, we're going to have to do it, or I'm going to be gone next week, so we're going to have to do it Thursday, probably. Yeah, I can't do it on my phone because I have the whole studio set up here with, like, the notes on screen, and I want to have that for you guys. Otherwise, it's hard to follow along. But we're good. We've been good for a while, so let's pick up where we left off. We are talking about being friends of the world or being enemies of God. 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So loving the world and God is spiritual adultery. When you have disconnected. Come on. Why? You have one job, internet. One job. I know. Disconnected. The world is behind this. It's the systems of this world. They don't want this message to go out. The frustrating part is not that this is happening. It's that I don't know how to prevent this from happening. Because I've tried all my little things that, all my little tricks, and none of them have worked. Yeah, I mean, I've tried to restart my modem and do all that. I think I need to call my internet provider. I've tried to update everything and get them to do like a hard update or reset. The thing is, if I test my internet, it's completely smooth and fine. It's just this program, which has worked for 6 years, is now just cutting in and out. Like, I don't understand. Yeah, I just disconnected again. It's just right when I start talking, it disconnects. It's going in and out. I know, it's disconnecting. It's trying to reconnect, but it's disconnecting. You got to contact your tech people. I'm a nerd. I've tried everything. I just need to call the internet provider and ask them what's going on to run a test. We did have the internet go out on the actual pole by our house, and they had to come out and redo it all in the pole and this whole ordeal, but this was like 6 months ago. So I don't know. I'm not even using a router, guys. I'm directly connected with Ethernet through into my modem. So. Yeah, Brittany, I'm going to have to do that. All right, let's keep going. We're connected here. We're just going to keep pushing through, and then I'll try to edit some of this out later in post. All right, so friendship with the world. Again, not necessarily having a friend that's of the world, but the systems of this world, catering to the systems of this world, which are what Jesus said, are an enemy of me, are anti the things of God, anti the kingdom of God. So ask yourself the question, first time watching me, unfortunately, I'm sorry about all these technical issues. Usually this doesn't happen. Are you spiritually cheating on God by aligning your life with worldly values and worldly desires? That is how you cheat on God. When I have the same jealousy the world has, the same lust the world has, the same perversion the world has, the same addictions that the world has, the same desires, right? The whole world's like, just get raise your kids, they go to college, they get a regular job. That's the world's desires. Our desires are the things of God, the kingdom of God, and pursuing the Lord. So I don't want to line up my desire for my kids with the same desires the world has. I want to line my desires up, my motives up with the will of God. So you can't have both. So if you are someone who's obsessed with the world, then you are an enemy of God. And that is strong language, but that's what James is using. That's how serious it is, guys. That's how serious it is when you're a friend of the world. Okay, look at this. Look what he says in verse 5. Or do you think that scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy? This is a truth that the Holy Spirit is jealous for our time. He's jealous for our affection. He wants exclusive loyalty for us to have with him. He does not want to share us with the world. He does not want to share us with the culture. Just as a husband is rightfully jealous for his bride, Christ is rightfully jealous for us. And when the Lord sees us more obsessed with the world, more focused on the world, more wanting to do what the world does, it hurts the feelings of God because the spirit in us is jealous for us. Look at what Exodus 34:14 says. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. What is the name of God? Jealous. How jealous is God? Well, it's literally his name. That's how jealous he is. He's longing for our full devotion. And that's a mind-blowing reality that the God of the universe is jealous for us, wants to spend time with us, wants our undivided attention and our undivided loyalty. He will not share you with the world. So we have to surrender every part of our life to God and say, Lord, I don't want to be a part of this worldly system. I don't want to follow after the things of this world and the ways of this world. Verse 6. Let me scroll down. Verse 6. I feel like I have to hurry because I'm racing the internet here. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Look what Proverbs 3:34 says. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. So pride, again, was a cultural virtue in the Roman Empire. But it's spiritual poison if you're a Christian. Pride is one of the worst things you can do. The reason being is God will resist you. If you have pride, think about how crazy this is, chat. If you have pride, you can chase God, but God's going to resist you. You can cry out to God and God's like, nope, nope, get away from me. I'm resisting you. Oftentimes we resist God, but in the case of having pride in our life, God says, I'm going to be the one resisting you. You can cry out to me all day. You can seek me all you want. There's pride in your heart. There's ego. You think you have it all together. You can do it yourself. But guess what happens when you're humble? God gives grace to the humble. It's not a virtue. This is James writing to the Roman people. This is not a virtue. It's spiritual poison. What happens? How do we get the grace of God? Humility. If you want to know how to get the grace of God, how do you have so much grace in your life and favor? Be humble. Lower yourself. Prefer others over yourself, and God will give you grace. If you're proud or prideful, God will actively oppose you. He'll actively oppose you. So the pathway to grace is a life of humility. That's the key to unlocking the grace of God. The unearned favor of God is humility. Verse 7. Now, this is a verse often used out of context for people to say, we don't need deliverance. Just do what verse 7 says. Look at what verse 7 says. Therefore, submit to God. So what are we talking about? Pride. We're talking about being proud, being of this world. And now James is not saying in the context of deliverance. James is speaking in the context of the world's pride. The pride of this world is demonic. Therefore, verse 7, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So we have to resist. First, though, before we even resist the devil, we have to submit to God. There's a lot of people that are not submitted to God. Now, this is not an answer for exorcism. This is not to take away from the fact that we cast out demons. This is a completely different thing of pride being of the devil. The way you break free from that demonic pride that God resists and God opposes is I have to submit myself to God. Lay my life down. This is the step one in the spiritual warfare. Submit myself to God. Lord, I give you my life. I'm submitted to you. Then when the devil comes, I'm resisting him. And he goes, you know what? I'm not going to waste my time with this guy. He's submitted to God and he's resisting me anyways. He's not even giving in to any of the traps I put out. So I'm just going to flee. I'm just wasting my time here. I'm leaving. That's what he's talking about here. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Those three things will happen in the context of don't be proud. Don't be prideful. Don't be prideful. I'm not going to try to fight battles without surrendering to God's authority. The first step to fighting these battles is I have to surrender myself to God. Lord, I give you my body. Lord, I give you my life. I fully surrender myself to God. Verse 8, what else do I have to do? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. First, I'm the one that's going to make the first step and act this thing out. So I'm resisting the devil. I have no pride anymore. I'm submitting myself to God. I'm drawing near to God. And in return, God is drawing near to me. Verse 8, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. What does Psalms 24 say? Verse 3, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who has clean hands and a pure heart? So God says, I want to be close to you. I'm inviting you to closeness, but there has to be purity and sincerity in your heart. You can't be filthy and come close to me, says God. I want you to come near me and I want to draw near you, but you need to be clean. And James is like, you're a sinner. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Wash yourself. Purify your hearts. Don't be double-minded. Don't pray double-minded. It's going to block intimacy with God if you're back and forth. You need to have a pure heart and you need to not hold back any loyalty. Fully submit yourself to God. Verse 9, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Joel 2:12. Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Return to the Lord your God. What's James saying? You want to get close to God? You want to break free from pride? You want to resist the devil and get serious? There needs to be deep emotional repentance. Don't be shallow. Don't be casual towards sin. You need real grief. You need real grief over the fact that you've offended God. Imagine you come to the altar, you're just like, all right, whatever. Thanks, Lord. Forgive me. I know I've been prideful and egotistical maniac and whatever. I've done a bunch of stuff, but I'm going to draw near you. Lord, forgive me. It is what it is. And you're just casual. This is what James is saying. No. You need to mourn. You need to weep. You need to see the seriousness and have real grief over the fact that you've offended God. You didn't offend your friend at school. You didn't offend your mother-in-law. You offended God. I'm trying not to yell because my throat hurts when I yell. You've offended God. You understand how serious that is? So what do you need to do? Stop laughing about it. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. You shouldn't be happy. Your joy, turn it to gloom. Be so broken over your sin. Don't be casual about it. Don't be lukewarm about it. Let there be some emotional repentance. This is the question I want to ask you. Do you take sin seriously? Or do you brush it off lightly? Is it even a big deal to you when you lie? Is it even a big deal to you when you watch pornography? Is it even a big deal to you when you cheat? When you're jealous? When you're angry? When you have rage? When you talk to your wife and kids wrong? It's whatever. It's just a little lie at work. You know, it's not going to really hurt anybody. You know what? Your little lie might not hurt anybody, but it's offending God. Hurting God. Making God mad. It's not a big deal if I spend hours and hours and hours on everything else but spending time with God. God's not going to really care. You know what? You might not be making anybody, hurting anybody else, but you're offending God and you're hurting God. You're hurting God. Verse 10. We're moving. Internet's doing good. We're going. Verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. How do you get exalted? You humble yourself. You humble yourself before God. Philippians 2 tells us that. God will exalt you when you humble yourself. We got to be humble. True promotion does not come from you exalting yourself. It comes from you humbling yourself. What do we hear in the Gospels over and over again? God will humble those that exalt themselves and exalt those that humble themselves. So if you want to be exalted, be humble. You see God. You see people, that's God. Only God did that. I'm going to be honest with you guys. This whole growth of our channel, I told you guys I was losing subscribers. The 90-Day Bible Challenge, I lost subscribers. I was not growing at all. I was just being faithful to God. 2 days before we end the Bible Challenge, all of a sudden, all these videos get recommended. Supernatural, I can't explain it. Gained 250,000 subscribers in the last couple weeks. How does that? God will lift you up if you stay humble and do what he tells you to do. I'm like, all right, so much for growing the channel. I'm working way harder being live every single day than I was before, and the channel's growing less. I'm losing followers. But the Lord's like, just be humble. Keep doing what I'm telling you to do, and I will exalt you. I will lift you up. God wants to exalt you. God wants to lift you up. But true promotion does not come from self-exaltation or self-lifting up. It comes from the Lord. And humility will bring you into God's perfect timing. God's perfect timing. He'll exalt you, lift you up. So go low. The lower you go, the more God can raise you up in his time and in his way. That's the key to promotion and the kingdom of God. If you want to lift yourself up, go ahead, but watch how God brings you down. We've seen him bring how many people down this year? Tons. Verse 11, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. Don't speak evil of each other. Don't tear down the family of God. You're disrespecting God when you tear down and judge others harshly. Cut other people down with your words. I don't know how the Heresy Hunter channels can even get through this chapter here and survive their ministry, because this chapter is full of rebukes to people that are constantly harsh with others. Be kind to other people. Why are you mean? There's two people that this chapter addresses that are two types of people I cannot stand. I'll tell you right now, anybody that knows me knows that there's two types of people I cannot stand. And this chapter addresses both of them. Prideful people, you could ask anybody that's close to me. If you have a big ego, if you're arrogant and proud, and you're just all about you and you and you, it's like, I just don't want to be around you. You smell to me. I don't know. This is weird. I can't stand pride, and I can't stand mean people. Bullies, rude. Don't know. Listen, I'm just going to say this. I've gone out to eat with a lot of preachers. I've been to hundreds of churches. So I've been to a lot of dinners. Okay, you all go eat after revival. I've been to dinner thousands of times. Literally, I've been to all the restaurants. Okay. When I see a preacher or a pastor be rude to the waiter, dude, there's nothing that turns me off more. I do have a sinus infection, Rebecca. There's nothing that turns me off more than seeing a pastor or a preacher rude to a waiter. It's like, don't be harsh. Don't be rude. Don't speak evil. Why? Can't you just be nice? Can't you just not be rude? It's not that hard to not be rude to people. like prideful, rude. Oh, I don't know. I just don't like it. Verse 12. There's one lawgiver who's able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Okay. Now the Bible tells us to judge righteously. And Paul says, judge those among the church. This is talking about a prideful attitude where you're judging everybody and not just judging them. Like you're judging their heart and their motives. You're condemning them. You're taking the role of what the role of God to be the judge, and you're taking it into your own hands. All right. Let me scroll. All right, here we go. We're almost at the last chapter here. Take one more drink. Apologize. I've been sick for the last couple days, guys, with a head cold and sinus infection. So it is what it is. Thanks for bearing with me. And got to keep drinking water to keep my throat going. All right. Verse 13 through 15. Let me see. Are we there on here? Let's see. Do I have this down right? Yeah, I do. Okay, here we go. 13 through 15. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Verse 14. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that. So here's the thing. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord redirects his step. So planning isn't wrong, but planning without God is wrong. And you have to understand that we're not promised tomorrow. Our life is but a vapor. So I have to every single day be like, Lord, today, I'm going to live today like it's my last day. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. My life is a vapor. It's here one day and it's vanishing tomorrow. So I'm just going to live my life in the will of God. And I'm going to say, if it's the Lord's will, hey, I'll see you next week. If it's the Lord's will, I'll see you next, if it's the Lord's will. So I'm not going to spend my life planning years and years and years. So like, if it's the Lord's will, my life's here one day, gone tomorrow. I'm going to live every single day for the Lord, every single day. Verse 16, but now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Jeremiah 9:23 says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. So don't be a prideful boaster. Don't pridefully boast about the future, because the Bible says it's arrogant. It's godless. We need to be humble. We need to trust in the Lord. We put our confidence not in our own success, but in God's will and the sovereignty and the grace of God. That's where I'm placing my future. Now, verse 17. Oh, this is a rough one here. This is a short verse, but super powerful. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. To him it is sin. So if you, this is the definition of the sin of omission, okay? The sin of omission is not doing what you know you should be doing. It's failing to do what you know is right. It's like, I know what I should be doing and I don't do it anyways. That's actually sin. Sin of commission is when you do something wrong. The sin of omission is when you don't do something that you know you should be doing, and that becomes sin. Like, man, if God called you to do something today, did you do it? You might think like, you're out of the woods. I didn't sin today. Well, if you didn't do what God wanted you to do, you did sin today. Because God is saying this. There's a lot of things you know you should be doing that you're not doing, and that is considered sin. That's the sin of omission. If I know I should be praying for that person, I know I should be witnessing, I know I should be reaching that specific person, I know I should be helping out that person, and I'm not doing it, I'm committing the sin of omission. Knowing what I should be doing and not doing it. All right, let's go to chapter 5. This is our last chapter. My voice holds out here. Man, being sick is not fun. Being sick is not fun. Chapter 5, verse 1. Look at what it says here. Come now, you rich. Weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Now, James is just going right at it. We know that the Bible makes it clear. God does not condemn having money. God condemns money having you. So this is not about being rich. It's about the ungodly use of wealth. And a lot of these wealthy landowners in the Bible exploited poor laborers. And a lot of times the early Christians were victims of this. So we see over and over again, James is going to talk about being rich and being abusive. Being abusive, okay? So many people we know, we talked about this, are rich in the eyes of man, but poor in the eyes of God. Our goal in life, make note of this, is not to store up treasures on earth, as to store up treasures in heaven. The goal of not life is not how rich you can be on this earth, it's how rich can you be in heaven. How much can you have in the kingdom of God? That's where we want to store up blessings. So God's going to judge those who gain wealth through oppression or gain wealth through, I don't know, cheating people, lying to people, pyramid schemes, shady ways of gaining wealth. God condemns that. And that's what James is talking about here, verse 2. And we're going to see that right here. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Think of what Matthew 6:19 says. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. So we can't be laying up our treasures where moths can get them. This is corrupted riches, not godly riches. Earthly wealth is temporary. So we don't want to spend our life worshiping it. God sees beyond it. So I want to invest in things that will last in eternity, not things that are temporary. Verse 3. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days. Wow, look at that. They will eat up your flesh like fire. You've heaped up treasures in the last days. That's graphic. He's saying that your money will testify against you on judgment day. There's an urgency. Judgment is real. Eternity is near. And you need to get serious about God because you're hoarding up finances and wealth through wicked ways. And on judgment day, it's going to testify against you and speak clearly why you had enough. Like, I don't have time for you, God. And your wealth's going to say, yes, you did. You spent your whole life worshiping money, making money, and no time with God. Verse 4. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, again, we're talking about making money wrong, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. And look at what verse 5 says. You've lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You've fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Verse 6. You've condemned, you've murdered the just. He does not resist you. Verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth until he receives the earthly, early and latter rain. So this is talking about the return of the Lord. You stored up all this ungodly wealth, but the Lord is coming back. The Lord is coming back. Let me scroll down here. Verse 8, you also be patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now this is... Excuse me. This is obviously a long time ago, and it's saying that the coming of the Lord is at hand. How much closer are we to the coming of the Lord? That right here it's saying, be patient and establish your hearts. Don't spend your life being grounded on the things of this world, be grounded on the wealth of this world, but instead ground your life into the things of God. Ground your life into the will of God. That's what's important. All right, verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. This is the further divisions that we're talking about. Jealousy, anger. James is saying, guard your unity. Don't grumble on each other. Don't gossip about each other. Jesus, the judge, is coming, standing at the door. Live with an awareness that Christ is coming back. And then I'm going to be accountable for him. I'm just going to say how it is. I wouldn't be acting so stupid if I recognized that Christ was at the door. I wouldn't be murmuring about everybody. I wouldn't be jealous over everybody. I wouldn't be complaining about everybody. Look at what verse 10 and 11 says. Verse 10 and 11. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You've heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. So let them be an example to you. Am I holding on like Job did, or am I giving up? I got to remain faithful even until the Lord returns. I cannot be like Job. I have to have endurance in my life, okay? That's what it's talking about. Be a man of integrity, be a man of endurance. Verse 13. Let me make sure I'm scrolling for you guys. Here we go. We're almost there, guys. We're almost there. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Okay, so whatever the situation is, write this down. Prayer and worship is the right response. whatever it is, suffering, prayer, cheerful. What James is saying is it doesn't matter. If life is going good, pray. If life is going bad, pray. If everyone's cheerful, pray. If everybody's suffering, pray. Do both. Am I praying and suffering? And am I praising in joy? That's what James is saying. Verse 14 and 15. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders. The prayer of faith will save the sick. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. The prayer, look at that. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. This is powerful. God says, I'm going to raise you up if you pray the prayer of faith. It's the prayer of faith is, I believe, God, you're going to do this without a shadow of a doubt. I'm not going to be like what James talked about earlier, a few streams ago, double-minded. But the prayer of faith is 1,000% conviction that the Lord's going to do what he says he's going to do. And there's no wavering. There's no wavering. There's no doubt. There's no doubt among you. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Look at that. The power of the anointing. People are like, I don't believe in the anointing. It says right there in verse 14. Is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. I think I skipped something there, but there, write it again. The anointing oil. So it's biblical to anoint people. I know some have said otherwise. It is biblical to anoint. It's biblical to anoint. All right, 1 second. I don't know why my Bible app's freezing here. Good guys, Bible app freezing, stream cutting out. I don't know. Well, now we're smooth. See, it's like, I don't know. Now the internet's working fine. All right. Where are we at? Verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Some translations say, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. There is healing in confession and prayer. Why would I confess my sins to others? When you confess your sin, you bring that sin out of darkness where the devil has power over it, and you bring it to the light and the devil loses power. There's something powerful about confessing your sin. All right. Proverbs 28:13. He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. So there's power in not hiding things. And the church is a place of healing. It's a place of breakthrough. It's a place where you can find trusted believers to be transparent with to get freedom in your life. The Lord wants to free you. So you need to be there and say, Lord, I'm confessing my sin to others. I'm going to be in an environment where I can confess my sins to others. And then the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. This is the consistent prayer of a righteous man. Not any man, a righteous man. Verse 17. Elijah was a man. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, what I love about this is it's going, Elijah was a man just like you, yet his prayers were powerful, even though he was a normal man. If Elijah can pray, and God would hear his prayer and respond, how much more can you pray, and God hear your prayer and respond? That's what he's talking about here, okay? Give me 1 second. Come on, unfreeze. That's what he's talking about here. All right, we're almost done. Where are we at? Verse 19. Two more verses and we're done with James. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. What do we do when our brothers sin? We try to turn them back. Galatians 6:1 talks about that. If a man is overtaken by sin, you who are spiritual, restore him. It's our duty to restore those that have wandered from the faith. The love that we have for God and the love that we have for others leads us to pursue the lost, not ignore them, and not slander them, and not condemn them, but lead them back. And here's one of the reasons why. If I want God to extend grace to me, I need to learn to extend grace to other people. And if I don't want God to extend grace to me, then I'm going to show no grace to other people. But whatever grace you extend will be the same grace extended back to you. So let's return to people. Let's return people. Let's not try to expose everybody. Let's not try to sit here and mock everybody. And it's like we get this weird pleasure out of other people stumbling, out of other people falling. That's demonic. Why would I use somebody's sin as a way of getting views? Why would I use somebody's downfall? I was like, I'm not a tabloid. Why are so many Christian YouTubers tabloids now? I'm not going to make a video over every person. Why would you make a video over that guy? What, because he fell? Everybody knows he fell. So it's so sad and embarrassing. We all saw it online. Why would I rejoice over a man of God who is faithful to the Lord for so many years falling into sin? Like, why would I want to do that? God forbid that ever happened to me. Why would I want someone to do it to me? I would want grace and mercy and love and someone to what? If somebody wanders, turn them back. If you turn a sinner away from his error, you'll save us all from death. So I'm not going to try to expose everybody. I'm going to cover people. I'm going to love people. I'm going to pour into people. Let's pray. 1 second. Oh man, guys. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing tonight, God. And Lord, I pray right now that this word, this book of James, God, that you've had us go through would not, these seeds would not fall on rough ground, but they would fall on good soil. I pray, Lord, that you would bring fruit from this. I pray, God, that there would be life producing from this. I pray, God, that we'd be faithful to your word, that we would study your word to show ourselves approved. And I just ask you, Lord, to help us not be proud. Come on, right now, you can humble yourself. God, I humble myself right now in Jesus' name. God, I don't want to be proud. I never want to be proud. I never want to think I'm above reproach. I never want to think I'm better than any of you. But God, I want to stay humble and contrite and broken before you. Lord, I want to know you. I pray in Jesus' name, God, help me to be humble, Lord. Help me to be merciful. Help me to extend grace to other people when they don't deserve it. When I don't deserve it, God, you extend your grace to me. How much more should I extend it to them? I pray in Jesus' name for your anointing and your power and just breakthrough. I pray in Jesus' name, God, do what only you can do. Touch people tonight, Lord. Bring unity in the body of Christ. Bring breakthrough in the body of Christ. We bless everybody watching in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, I know we haven't been live. We had to cancel a live yesterday. Last week, we canceled a live. Like I said, excuse me. I've been sick for the last few days. I just can't shake it. So pray for me. I've been so frustrated. Like yesterday, I woke up feeling so sick. The day before, I felt so sick. And I want to shake it. I can't shake it. It's just been this head cold, sinus infection, allergies, all hit me at once. But I will say I'm grateful that it's not during the 90-day Bible challenge. I didn't get sick once in 90 days. And this is all like seasonal. It's not like I have, you know, some terminal illness or anything. It's just frustrating. This entire night, my throat feels like it's getting stabbed as I'm every time I say a word. So it is what it is, guys. Just be praying for me. Pray for my family. Pray for my kids. A couple of them have runny noses as well. It's everybody's getting it. But like I said, we're leaving next week camping for our once a year camping trip. Can't wait for that. We've been pushing really, really hard these last couple months. And it's just rest time. It's relax time for us and get to spend time with the family. And so yeah, super excited. Summer is my favorite time of the year, so I don't feel bad about it. I don't feel bad about missing a week. My family is my priority over you guys. I know that sounds kind of rude, but it is what it is. My family's first. God, wife, family. Well, let me say it this way: God, family, ministry. All right, well, my wife's above my kids, but you know, God, family, ministry, that's the order. So got to keep those priorities, spend time with the family. I personally wouldn't want to hear preaching from a deadbeat dad. Just saying. A guy that neglects his wife, a guy that neglects his kids, a guy that doesn't spend time with his family, a guy that's addicted to work, that's a huge turnoff for me. When I see guys addicted to streaming, addicted to making videos, I'm not going to lie, guys. It's a turnoff. I don't want to listen to a guy like that. I want to listen to people that have healthy marriages, healthy kids. You cannot be pumping out nonstop content, making the videos and the traveling. When I see some preacher's traveling schedule, I know they're doing it under the Lord, but we got to make sure we keep our family a priority, okay? I'm not going to have 4 kids and then sacrifice them on the altar of ministry. Anyway, preach, brother. Here's what I'm asking you guys. Sow into what we're doing. We need your help. We need your support now more than ever. So really appreciate you guys partnering, sowing. Pray about it. Pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that on the QR code or my website, isaiahsaldivar.com/partner. You'll get 70 sermons, 20% of the merch store, past partners calls, future partners calls, all that good stuff. Invite to our 1 p.m. Thursday prayer call. So you can do that there. I want to say thank you to everyone sticking around. I know the live stream was cutting out. Appreciate you guys. I'm going to show you guys the golden play button in a second, but the links to give are there. There's Venmo, there's PayPal. Give somewhere, give something. It helps a lot. We spend a lot of time, energy, and effort to put these things together. And even if we're not feeling good, we still go live. So help us out, guys. We really appreciate it. We've been doing this full time for 6 years with no salary or anything. It's just we're by faith and people are supporting and God's been good. All right. Here's the play button. Y'all been waiting to see. There it is. I don't know. Let me see. Can I get a... There it goes. Presented to Isaiah Saldivar for passing 1 million subscribers. There you guys are in the camera. A little bit dirty here. My kids were touching it. Wipe it off there. There you go. You can see yourself. You can see the chat there. So that's cool. That happened, which is awesome. The Lord told me to go online in 2019. I never in a million years would ever think I would hit 1 million subscribers. Some of you are like, that's crazy. Does it shock you? Yes. It's crazy to me too. I don't think, guys, like, some of you might, just from my perspective, right? Probably most of you don't have 1 million subscribers or whatever. Some of you might think that if you're quote-unquote, and I hate using this word, it feels gross, but famous, like, oh, he's famous, he has millions of followers. You might think famous people feel a certain way or whatever, and maybe they do. I don't. I am just like, I feel completely normal. I don't feel any different. And I'm shocked as you are. I'm like, whoa, I can't believe I have that. I don't walk around like, oh, I have this. I have all these followers. I'm a famous guy. No, if you met me in person at Costco or wherever, I don't know why I always run into so many people at Costco. I'm a normal person. You will know that. The other day I was at a store and a lady's like, oh my, at Home Depot. She's like, I've been watching you for years and it feels weird to see you out here and like, you're real. I was buying a sprinkler. Somebody busted my sprinkler. One of my DoorDash drivers. I don't know. DoorDash, Instacart, who was it? And I was out buying a sprinkler at Home Depot. I was all dirty. And she's like, it's weird seeing you. I'm like, yeah, I'm normal. I'm not special. I don't feel like, oh, I'm famous. I'm this. I don't feel that way at all. That's ego. That's pride. I don't want to be that way. I'm just a normal person. So yeah, I'm grateful for that. You know, 2,400, 2,500 videos, whatever. Super grateful. Super grateful. So God is good. Praise the Lord. It's all glory to Him. My channel's all about the Lord anyway. Even when we did like our cooking stream, we were talking about God. It is what it is. All of our videos are to honor God and glorify God. It's His channel. He's the one that told me to do this. So yeah, praise the Lord. Thank you guys for giving and sowing tonight. Thank you. I apologize again for my voice and I had to keep pausing. Oh, my throat. So dry. So dry. Really cool, guys. I was not expecting that to hit that so soon. And we're already at 1.2 million, which is so cool. Our last video we just uploaded a couple days ago already has almost 100,000 views. So super grateful. Super grateful. Thank you guys for giving, partnering, sowing. The best is yet to come. We're just up and down hanging on, guys. There was months where I gained like 2,000 subs every month. So literally, guys, there was a few months where I gained 3,000 subs in a month. And here I gained 250,000 the last like week or 2 weeks, I don't know. That's God to me. Been watching John Ramirez on that first video. That's awesome firework. Thank you. Jared and Candace are going to go live in 5 minutes. Usually they go live at 7:30. But to be honest with you guys, my voice is hurting so bad. So everything that I say hurts. That. So I'm trying to get off here as soon as possible. Hey, I was struggling to make it through the end of that. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, so they're going to go live in like 5 minutes. Usually they go at 7:30, but you know what? We made it through. I missed my daughter's softball game tonight to be with you guys. I got on here sick. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being here. All right. We're suffering. All right. I was getting so frustrated when the internet was cutting out. Cause I was like, I missed my daughter's softball game. And this is the last week of softball to be here live with you guys. And the internet's cutting out. So frustrating, but it survived. We made it through. We pushed through. And I'll try to edit some of that out, but yeah. Yes, I'm still playing pickleball. Still going good. I'm still playing. I'm playing a couple times a week, usually 2 to 3 times. Three if I'm able to, but usually it's like 2 times solid a week in the mornings. Although this week I'm not really playing because I'm getting ready for camping next week. And next week I won't be playing because I'll be camping. And yes, we're doing another cooking stream. Yes. Yes, we are. We're going to do another one. That was so fun and funny. Finally made it to a live and it's the end. Oh, man. I'm sorry. Ugh. Excuse me. Appreciate you so much. Thank you, Lemon and Honey. I need to do something. My throat didn't hurt because I wasn't talking, and then all of a sudden now I get on here and, oh, man. And it's hot outside, so I have my AC blasting, which is drying out my throat even more. Oh, you saw a video from The Awakening. That's old school. That's old school. Great seeing you, Amy. We will be live at noon, God willing, on Thursday. Hopefully, better fully by then. And then we're going to be leaving next week. But I'll try to make some videos for you guys while I'm gone. We'll see. I don't know. Maybe we'll go live from camping. Who knows? Go live in the RV or something. Who knows? Is Tuesday live now a thing? Well, we're live every Tuesday with the podcast. But I moved my teaching from Monday to Tuesday because I was not feeling good. And something came up yesterday that took me all day to take care of. Ken, you're going to be in Sacramento next week? I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be gone next week. Wait, where is the sniper sweatshirt? Mine is worn out. It should be on the website. It should be on the website. Thanks for everything changing my life. That's awesome, Jenna. God bless you, Jenna. I wish I could genuinely meet every single one of you. I genuinely wish I could meet every single one of you. You got me to pickleball? Let's go. It's the best sport ever. Delena, it's the best sport ever. I'm glad you're playing. But yeah, I would love to meet all of you. You guys are amazing. I've been taking allergy pills and all that too. Yes, thank you. Yeah, I'm literally going to be gone for the week, Tanya. But we'll talk. We'll talk. You should definitely meet up with Jared and Candace, if anything. I'll send you guys, when I end the stream, it's going to take you to Jared and Candace, but when they go live, I'll post the link. I'll tell you where to go. And all the giving links are on screen in the description and in the comments, guys. It's an old video of Unico and Arise. That is old school. Old school. Some of you, listen, you know how to go deep into the archives, find some old school videos. Love that. Joey want to play pickleball with you? Tanya, you let him play pickleball? I would love to play with him. But I'm not going to be here. But we'll talk. Maybe we could figure out a day. I don't know. Maybe we could get something worked out. I'm here. My baby cousin loves watching you. 6 months old. That's awesome, Emily. Tanya, are you serious? You let him play? Oh, you're going to meet up with him? That's awesome. Da-na-na-na-na-na. Jared and Candace are going to be live in a minute. If you guys don't know who Jared and Candace are, they're some of our best friends. They're anointed, great preachers, and awesome worship and prayer. So yeah, we're going to be going there for worship and prayer in a minute. They're going to go live earlier because my voice is messed up and it hurts every word I say. So I'm, you know, using my words right wisely. Praying for you. Thank you so much. They just don't know how to act around you. What does that mean? Thanks for your podcast on Lost Sexual Marrow. Helped me so much. That's awesome, guest. Awesome, awesome. Put onions in your sock. It'll draw out impurities. Really? Does that really work? I've heard that before. Oh, I don't like onions. Eww. Where's my podcast? Live here on Tuesday. Or you can go to my channel, Kristen. Go to playlist. Go to Revival Lifestyle Podcast. All of them are there. Or go to Spotify or go to Apple Podcasts, Revival Lifestyle Podcast. Go or the playlist on my channel. That's where you find the podcast. But it's live every Tuesday night as well. I'd rather be sick than put onions in my sock. Yeah, I don't know. How's that going to smell? Does it make your breath smell bad? Seeps through into your breath? Oh, baby Isaiah, he's right here.
All
right,
baby Isaiah here to let you know that although we are done with the 90-day Bible challenge, which we are live every day, we still are live Monday night with our Bible teaching, Tuesday night with our podcast, and Thursday at noon with our Q&A. So join the live stream. Stop playing. Why do I have to become a baby to get you to join the live stream? Just be joining the live stream. See you there Monday night. All right.
There's baby Isaiah. You asked, and he was there. What's the next guest? You'll have to just wait and see. You'll have to just wait and see. So excited you hit 1 mil. Me too, Jelena. Thank you. Onion and socks. I was like, what you have? I think it's just some old Mexican trick, honestly. You make a video camping, swimming, fishing, hunting for bears. I'm not going to hunt for bears, but I will be fishing and swimming. All right, guys, we're going to Jared and Candace's now. This is where we're going. The link's there. I put it in the chat. If you don't have the link, just stay on, and it'll take you right there when I end the stream, okay? It'll take you right on when I end it. Love you guys and appreciate you guys. Thanks for bearing with me while I'm sick, and thanks for giving and supporting and all that good stuff. I will see you guys Thursday at noon, all right? Love you guys. You guys are awesome. God bless. See you guys. Goodbye. 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 See ya. God bless. Go to Jared and Candace's now. The link's there. All right.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.